My name is Laura McGinley, and I'm an Education Officer for Literacy and English with Education Scotland. I'm joined by my colleague Paul Morgan, Senior Education Officer for Literacy and English at Education Scotland.
Hi, Laura. Great to be here.
Hi, Paul. So this is the second episode in a short series of podcasts which focuses on Strategic Aim 4 of the Vibrant Libraries, Thriving Schools National Strategy for School Libraries. The Vibrant Libraries, Thriving Schools National Strategy was first published in 2018, and it shared the vision that every child and young person in Scotland should have access to a truly dynamic school library service. Strategic Aim 4 looks at the ways in which school libraries contribute to health literacy and also social and mental well-being by providing safe and trusted spaces for children and young people. In the first podcast in this series, we spoke with Jess Burnett, a health and well-being education officer within Education Scotland. Jess shared her reflections on her previous role as a principal teacher of pastoral support and how she'd worked closely with the school librarian to support the mental health and well-being of young people in her school. In today's podcast, we're going to continue our focus on Strategic Aim 4, and this time we're joined by school librarian Moira Payton from Braes High in Falkirk Council. Moira has led and supported work which has contributed positively to the social and mental well-being of the young people in her school community, and she joins us today to share a little bit more. So welcome, Moira. And can you begin by introducing yourself and just telling us a little more about your role?
Thank you very much. Well, hi. Well, I'm from Bewley, and apart from a wee short stint at the deli counter in Safeway in Inverness in 1997, I've always worked with books, first in bookshops and then in libraries. And I've been at Braes High for nearly 2 years. And before that, I worked in Edinburgh. I was my last post was at Broughton High, and I was there for about 13 years. And that's where I really got hooked into the idea of supporting supporting initiatives that promote positive mental health and well-being. I really love reading, which is probably not a surprise, but when I'm not doing that, I am hanging out with my dog or my tortoise or my hamster or my kids or a combination of all of that. And I've just finished reading Yellow Face by Rebecca Kwang, so if anyone wants to talk about that, I am all ears. The ideal book for a book group.
I've actually seen Yellow Face advertised on my Audible app, and it could be my next download.
Oh yes.
Always good to have a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. It's a really strong one. You'll hear lots of buzz about it, and you'll read it, and they want to really talk to people about it. So if we want to move on to that, we could.
Thank you.
Moira, can I just ask you first off, how do you see school librarians and school libraries contributing to the health and well-being of young people in a school community?
Well, I love my job, and one of the reasons is we have autonomy to choose what we prioritise in our libraries, which means that we can tailor precisely what we offer in terms of the books that we stock, but also the experiences that we can facilitate or organise or promote to meet the exact needs of our young people that are in front of us. So I think that empowers our young people, they're listened to, and I think that's a really good factor for encouraging good and positive mental health. I really think that libraries are a place in school where students can make a difference, they can be heard, it's a safe space, students from different year groups can meet together in a way that they can't in other parts of the school, you know, to find their tribe. So I think that's really impactful and important. Obviously, we do encourage and support reading for enjoyment. That's a key role of us. And we all, I think, are aware of the studies that have been conducted that show the impact of reading on positive mental health. I really like the statistic that the Scottish Book Trust promote, that if you read for 6 minutes a day, it reduces your stress levels by nearly 70%. I think their initiative was called Keep the Heed and Read. So that's something to bear in mind all of the time. So that's something that I strongly follow and really believe in. And I think, you know, we're experts encouraging reading for enjoyment, and reading for enjoyment encourages empathy and lots of other ways to really improve mental health. So,
and particularly important given the kind of the impact of the pandemic in this kind of new world that we're in.
100%. And I think really COVID, I mean, I was involved in projects that support positive mental health and well-being before the pandemic, but the pandemic made me realise, well, I need to shift focus here, because I never really really prioritise literacy as something that supports positive mental health before the pandemic. I was aware that it could, mm-hmm. but I would think about reading for enjoyment in terms of literacy, but not the health and wellbeing side. But I think actually, particularly when schools needed to have year groups that were separated, mm-hmm. that had such an impact on the library, because the library is a place where, within class time, sure, but also out of class time, you do have these young people from different year groups that
can mix.
And we just didn't have that for a while. It was just sad. That's the only way that I can put it together. That was the worst part. So
really, the school library has a key function in terms of that focus on children and young people's health and wellbeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, when I started at Braze, I prioritised the hours that I chose to do and the days that I chose to work so that I could be open at break times and lunch times as much as possible. So in Falkirk, we don't have full-time school library provision. There's different combinations for each school, but some librarians work in two schools and some are part-time. And I'm part-time, so I'm there 60% of the time. But rather than do it over 3 days, I chose to do it over four. So some half days and some whole days, so that I could be open for four breaks and four lunches. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started my school librarian career, which is quite a while ago now, I knew the importance of, you know, closing some breaks so that I could speak to staff. And I think for new staff, that's really important. But I think when I started at Braze, I felt like I was at a point in my career where I have confidence to speak to staff and collaborate with staff in other ways. So I wanted to have that time at break time to be with the young people, because I really felt sort of, because when I started, it was in the middle of COVID restrictions. So I wanted to be open at break if I could for the young people. Mm-hmm. So I definitely shifted my priority there. Again, it's different in every school and it depends on the individual librarian and it depends the landscape of the school, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But for me at that time, I thought that's the important thing, is having that experience for the young people, because they needed it, you know.
Yeah, prior to meeting today, Moira, I had a wee look at the Braze High School website and I see that there are different clubs and groups that you've organised throughout the week. Can you tell us a wee bit more about those?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a focus of mine. I wanted to have structured sort of programme, if you like, or club for every lunchtime, just because I think it's what the young people were asking for and what they wanted. And going back to that point I made before about the fact that we can respond to what the young people ask for, I mean, it's their library. And that goes for, you know, the books that I buy, it's very much based on suggestions or conversations that I have with young people, but the things that I offer at lunchtime is in response to what the young people ask for. So we've got quite a packed programme. So we'll go through it. Take a seat, everyone, listen up. Mm-hmm. On a Tuesday, we have literacy leaders, because we are aiming to become a reading school. And we actually are a silver level reading school, I should say, but we're aiming to be gold. So we have a group of literacy leaders whose job is to help us, you know, go on that path, go on that journey and reach that goal. And they're the ones that will come up with the ideas, facilitated by me and the other staff on the group, to come up with the projects that will get us there. So we meet on a Tuesday. And on a Wednesday, we have a book group called the Red Book Awards, which is the Falkirk-wide book award programme, Read, Enjoy, Debate. It's amazing. We were actually just at the point of choosing the shortlist. So the young people choose the shortlist for the books. They spend the bulk part of the session reading the books, discussing them, enjoying them, debating them, making a book trailer as well, and taking part in competitions. And then there's a big award ceremony in May where they get to meet the authors. The shortlisted authors to school as well. So I actually run that with an English class, but because I wanted to make sure that every S2 student had the chance to be involved if they wanted, I've offered it as a lunch club as well, so that any S2 student not in the class that's identified can also take part. So that's a Wednesday. On a Thursday, I've got an amazing team of pupil librarians who help me develop the library, you know, maybe process books, create displays, any ideas that they have that they think would improve the library. Like we created a wee reading nook on their suggestions. So again, it's all their ideas and I help to facilitate that. That's on a Thursday. And then on a Wednesday and Tuesday, as well as the things that I've mentioned before, we've just started a Dungeons and Dragons group, which I'm really not an expert, and I can't stress that enough. I think my entry point is Stranger Things. That's the only thing I really know about Dungeons & Dragons, but the young people are so keen. And we had our first meeting yesterday, and as an initial turnout, we had 14 students from lots of different year groups. We had a 50-50 gender mix. We had a mix of experienced people and people who've probably come at it the way I have through programmes like Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. But just the buzz and just their enthusiasm. And also, it's just heartwarming. Yeah, it's a guddle perhaps having five groups over 4 days, really, but it's completely worth it. And I would 100% arrange things so that I could meet the needs and put in place the things that are asked for. The last thing, which I've not mentioned, but I will like to talk about it more great length, is my Friday group, which is my Words for Wellbeing book group, which really, I think, supports positive mental health in a fabulous way. But it's essentially, we use stories and words to encourage young people to feel better and to stimulate, you know, positive mental health and emotional wellbeing. And during the sessions, I will read for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, or we will watch or, you know, maybe watch a short clip or listen to an audiobook. And then we just open up the floor to the group to just talk about their emotional response to what they've heard. It could be thoughts or feelings or memories, or they might go off on a tangent because they just heard something and it made them think of that. That's absolutely fine. It's a safe space. Their emotional response is 100% encouraged. So we do set boundaries to make sure that, you know, it's a safe space, but you're not going to say anything that's going to make someone else feel unsafe or, you know, be offensive or, you know, harmful to another person. But, you know, the young people know it's their group and they can talk whichever way they like. Mm-hmm. They can also listen. It's okay not to talk. So that's also encouraged. And a few of the group, I could actually see them kind of open up after, it might have been a few months actually for one person that I'm thinking of, but it's okay.
And in that way, I suppose it's all about those developing relationships and bringing pupils out of themselves and providing them with opportunities to make those links and those friendships across boundaries and across year groups and to kind of mix things up a bit that doesn't necessarily help happen elsewhere in school.
Yeah,
you know?
definitely. And I mean, again, the building relationship is really important. I could see the contrast, so I was able to do something about it. So that was a sort of success story from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, I don't think there's other opportunities in school to respond to texts in this way. Or there might be, but it's not the focus, and it's maybe a kind of, you know, maybe a few minutes at the end of a class, but it's not the centre of a, you know, 40-minute lunch break. So.
And it sounds like you've created a really safe space to be able to be open about their reactions to the text.
Yeah.
How do you choose the text?
Well, I actually should say as well, I came to this through a school librarian, or she was a school librarian at the time, but she now works in, I think, Lanarkshire as a public librarian. But Jennifer Horan, she's the one that delivered the training for this. So the model that I use is very much based on her training. And I actually was trained when I worked in Edinburgh, some Edinburgh school librarians developed a project called Escape, Connect, Relate, which is all about using books to support books and reading to encourage empathy, really.
Yep.
And the bibliotherapy story cafes, or Words for Wellbeing story cafes, were one strand of that. But the way that Jen sort of trained me up, if you like, and the way that I offer it is the same. And I'll choose two or three books. And to be honest, I usually go for two or three books that I've read recently that just resonated with me. Sometimes it might be a bit thematic, like it maybe sounds a bit daft, but at Halloween I did choose three that had some kind of witchy, actually I think I went for feminist witchy themes, supernatural themes. Three books that have resonated with me. I will choose a passage. I hardly ever go for the first page. I'll go for something right in the middle of the text, rather like writers do readings, I suppose, something that you know, is punchy and it resonates. A reading for 5 to 10 minutes. I will always give the blurbs to the young people in the group and get them to choose which one they like the sound of the most. A really crucial part is trigger warnings, because that's something you really need to be mindful of for the group. So I will explain any triggers, and then the young people can obviously, they'll have maybe a show of hands, or quite often it's I'm looking at faces to see oh no, that's, that book's not the one for today, they will vote for the favourite and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. It's actually the question that other school librarians ask me all the time is, oh, how do you choose, or which books do you go for? And I just think you need to trust your instincts. If it's a book that resonated with you, it's probably going to resonate with other people. And I've
going to be able to enthuse about that.
Yeah, book, yeah. And I could recommend a book to you that I love, and you could read it, but maybe not get that much from it. So I don't know if it would have the same impact. So I think the person reading needs to have the enthusiasm, and then that's how to pass it on. But I've actually never had a sort of, you know, a duff reading. I've never had an experience where I thought, oh, that didn't go down well as well. There's always something to talk about. Quite often discussions go in a way that you wouldn't have predicted. Actually, like the example of this, I was using, so I do these story cafes, Words for Wellbeing, as a lunchtime activity, but I do them in class from time to time. It's different because with the groups, you know that the young people have chosen and volunteered to go there. When in classes, I don't really want young people to feel that this is a thing that's imposed on them. But I was working with a group of P7s coming up to S1, and it was an enhanced transition project. And I thought I would go for Roller Coaster Boy by Lisa Thompson, which is, it's a book about a boy whose father is bipolar. And at the start of the book, his dad wakes him up at 4 a.m. And this is a passage that I read. He wakes him up at 4 a.m. to say, right, we're going on holiday. And the boy panics because it's not a fun surprise. It's a bad surprise. He's worried about his dad. Mm. He's worried about his dad losing his job. He knows his dad's not been taking his medication. And this, by the way, is all in a 5-minute reading. There's a lot in this section. So I started to read this. I had this text, but I had a few others as well, and I did my trigger warnings, and I did ask the young people which one they would like the most, and unanimously everyone wanted this book. But one of the young people was a Ukrainian refugee, and he said, oh, that actually reminds me of when Dad woke us up and said we had to get out of the country. Mm-hmm. And he was totally happy talking about it, because again, the boundaries had been laid and the young people knew that they could share as much or as little as they wanted. So he felt happy and confident to share this, so I didn't feel that he was being exploited, or I don't know if that's the right word, but
coerced
into saying more than he wanted to. But I just thought, wow, I wouldn't have, you know, you obviously wanted to talk about it.
Comfortable,
in that
environment, in order to kind of open up in that way and to share that experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One passage, obviously we know this with literature, one passage can mean so much to different people. Mm. And in retrospect, of course, I probably would feel the same way as him. But I'm grateful perhaps that I could offer that experience, not only for him, but for the other young people in the group, because I think it gets them to empathise and understand what life is like for this boy in their class as well. So, but again, point of that really is conversations go in directions that you don't know, but that's to be encouraged. Who doesn't love a tangent? So it works.
One of the joys of the library.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
You've got the time and the opportunity to go off on tangents and explore various themes.
It sounds like you've done so much, Moira, within your school setting to support health and wellbeing. And I suppose, really to sort of finish up, I would ask for any fellow librarians that are listening, what takeaway or piece of advice would you give a fellow librarian who is maybe wanting to begin to think about this aspect in relation to their library provision?
I would say, to be honest, not to sound overly gung-ho, I would just go for it and just do it. I think I really do suggest offering it as a lunch club as well, because this way it opens it up to the school and it allows other staff to kind of understand what this is, because it's a really easy concept, but it's hard to understand what it is until you can see it. Because actually one of the biggest challenges, this will sound strange, but biggest challenge I've had with the whole process is finding a good name for it. Because I started off calling it bibliotherapy, but one of my young people actually thought that I meant Bible therapy, and I thought, oh no, I don't, but I can see why you think this. Mm-hmm. It's a clunky name, and also I'm not a therapist, so that's something that, you know, you clarify at the start.
Yeah.
That's part of your boundaries, you know, I can suggest books that might resonate, I'm here to listen. I'm here to provide advice on places where you can get expertise, but I'm not the therapist. So I didn't like that name. So I started off with bibliotherapy, but I rebranded it to Words for Wellbeing. But I started it. I promoted it through all the ways I would say school librarians probably do start new groups, you know, through Teams, through posters, through school newsletters and TV screens and word of mouth as well, through library regulars. But I found that after I'd started it, that's when, you know, our pastoral team, our guidance team were maybe saying, oh, I've got this young person who likes the library. Would they be able to come along to this group? So it came from that way. And I think if I'd just had the idea and then gone to guidance first of all to say, right, if you got people to suggest, I don't think it would have worked because they wouldn't really have known what I was talking about. So in a sense, kind of just do it. Yeah. It's maybe my advice.
Let it grow organically.
I mean, the librarian motto is probably the cliche of ask for forgiveness, not permission. So that applies. But set boundaries, definitely the start, you know, act in the way that you always would professionally, you know, share what you're comfortable with. I mean, I'm definitely honest with my group, but I don't overshare. And there's loads of things about my life I would obviously hold back on. Mm-hmm. But equally, I will share some stories or anecdotes. Sometimes in the group as well, you know, it seems right to ask them questions after I've read. And other times, you know, they will let rip and they will share what they want. Both things are completely fine. But really, really, really just to trust your instincts as well in terms of the books to go for. Like I'm always happy to recommend and talk about books that have worked well, which really have been all of the books that I've gone for. But I think this is such a good way for us to showcase our expertise and our knowledge of reading for, you know, teenagers and young adults. Trust that. I think most, as an assumption, most school librarians do read for enjoyment themselves. So trust your opinions and go for the books that have resonated with you. And I don't think you'll go wrong.
I would imagine that link with guidance staff and pastoral care is an important one as well in terms of recommending pupils to join.
Absolutely.
But also just to open up that dialogue and to kind of work in partnership and supporting
young definitely.
People.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. I have had experiences where young people have maybe disclosed something or said something that I thought, oh, well, it's not been a child protection concern or even as far as a welfare concern, but just something that I want guidance to know. So definitely it's a two-way street there.
Yeah.
Sounds like the children, young people have really benefited from everything you've provided, but also your colleagues have gained a lot from that as well. So,
well, I think I've definitely raised awareness of it as well. I should say as well, I actually really think one of the markers of how confident the young people are is I've got young people now that are sharing their own writing, which I think that's really opening up your heart to the world, isn't it? Yeah. We have that. Yeah. So we've had a few sessions where the young people have led it as well. Like you know, they've read their own work and then sort of cheered the discussion. It's not really cheering, that's too formal, but they've, you know, answered the questions. So
they're confident individuals and effective contributors.
Absolutely, absolutely this.
Brilliant.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Your passion and enthusiasm for your role and everything you do really shines through. And thanks for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you so much to today's guest for joining us to share their experience of developing health and well-being through the life and ethos of the school library. Look out for the other two podcasts in this series exploring the Vibrant Libraries Thriving Schools strategic aim on health and well-being. To find out more about any of the resources or references made in today's podcast, why not head over to the National School Libraries Professional Learning Community on Globe.